I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ashley. And this, guys, is Nip Tuck Pod.
We are your girl chat. We say the things you want to hear, the things that you're thinking but you don't want to say out loud. And we're all about being strong, aspirational women who basically don't give a...
Lauren, anyway, if you want unfiltered chat, amazing beauty and product recommendations, then look no further, guys. This is the podcast where you will get all of the girly chat.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Are you quite content to take a slight back seat and be that secondary role, that good friend role?
I don't really like the idea of back seat. I don't know. It's just not a word that, no.
That was the fucking best answer ever. Hello everybody and welcome to Vicky Paxton, The Secret 2. This week I am joined by none other than fashionista, reality star and maiden Chelsea queen, it's Ruby Adler everybody! Woo!
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here. A bit nervous.
Don't be nervous. I feel like this is the beauty of doing this over Zoom. And I know, like, since, you know, COVID restrictions have like relaxed and everything, people are doing these in studios. But I actually feel like you get the best out of someone over Zoom, because I don't know about you, but I'm just in the kitchen and I'm chilled out and having a nice time. And I think that's when you are like your best self, you know, when you're relaxed.
Yeah, most relaxed. Yeah, I'm in my kitchen too with a lovely little coffee. So sun shining.
Dreamy. Do you know as well, I was just talking to my producer mate and I was like, this is no fault of our own either. Like, I don't actively campaign for any certain type of guest. I welcome everybody here, and so do my guests. We love a proper broad spectrum. But you're actually, apart from our first ever episode, which was Jamie Lang and Sophie, and it was my first one, mate, so I was so nervous and I was so crap. And Jamie ended up, like, because he's like a podcast pro, isn't he? He ended up fucking practically taking over and it was like his pod and I was just a guest on it. So I don't think since then we've had anyone from Maiden Chelsea.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I quite like that.
No, me too. It's such a change of pace for our listeners. And I also feel like you're pretty much like popping my Maiden Chelsea cherry, so fucking well done, that. Well,
thank you so much.
Be gentle with his rubes.
I'll try my best.
Obviously, so anyone who watches Maiden Chelsea will be so familiar with you, mate. You joined, was it last season?
So I joined, I call it COVID Chelsea because I don't really know Chelsea pre-COVID. I joined sort of just before we went into lockdown. Mm. Yeah, so this is I'm about to do my fourth series. So I've had three full series, yeah.
And so you're saying it's predominantly been done through COVID. So now, like, the world's opened up, you're going to be going on all of your fancy trips again, I'm sure. Are you excited?
Oh my God, I'm so excited. I can't wait. I think that's kind of, you know, that's one of the perks of the show. You know, you get to travel, you get to go to amazing places with all your friends. Yeah. I mean, we might be doing a really fun summer trip, who knows, quite soon.
Definitely are. Like, I remember when I first started doing Jodie's Show, which of course was like fucking something like 15 years ago now, which I actually hate saying out loud and has made my head go into a bit of a spin when I realise how old I am. But yeah, so when we first started doing it, Maiden Chelsea just jumped, like, came on the scene at the same time. And, like, we were constantly getting asked about it, you know, like, and so did Towie, you know, it's like a trifecta of reality.
Yeah, all started at the same
time. Yeah, absolutely, like, burst onto the screens. And I remember I was really bitchy about it, which is probably no surprise to anybody listening. And everybody was like, so Maiden Chelsea started, like, what do you think? Do you think it's as good as Jodie's Show? Like, journalists were savage back in the day, you know, they're much nicer now, hashtag be kind and all that. But they were like, do you think they're better than you? Do you think the girls are pretty? Yeah, they ask all these questions. And I remember once saying, right, and this was such bullshit because I love the show. I remember saying, I think it's boring. I'd rather watch my dad get out the bath.
That's
no, but really, I was lying, mate, because And I was, it was such a defence mechanism. I was such a
I get that.
Toxic little child back then. But trust me, mate, when I say I was obsessed with the show. And I used to love your summer trips, like all your winter ones to like the fancy ski, wherever you went. I thought it was real escapism. Like, and as well as a lass who'd grown up in like working class Wall's End, these trips and things were so outside of my realms of imagination. It was lovely to watch, and I don't know, I found the glamour of Made in Chelsea super appealing.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, and do you think that's what, like, do you think that's what people are watching Made in Chelsea for? Like, do you think they're watching it to see your gorgeous glamorous outfits, the beautiful handbags, the amazing trips?
I think so. I think people watch it for all aspects. I think you become invested in, you know, in people and characters and your situations, and you feel like you know them. But I think with Made in Chelsea, what's so beautiful about the show and so great is that, you know, people watch it for the glamour and the outfits, like you said, and the trips and the locations, and where are they having a drink? That looks amazing. I want to go there. Yeah. And it's that part of escaping your day-to-day, you know, people's sort of like day-to-day, you know, mundane life, and it's that's their hour of, you know, I can switch off and I can, you know, pretend I'm part of that world for a moment, which I think's quite fun.
And that's what I think TV should be, you know. Like, my sister often has a go at me. She's like, oh, you seen this or have you seen that? And it'll be some fucking harrowing documentary about like the state of Syria. And I'm like, I'm not ignorant, Laura, by any stretch of the imagination, but no, I fucking haven't. Because if I get 1 hour of an evening to watch a bit of TV, you best believe I'm going to watch something where somebody's having a nice time, or somebody's making me laugh, or somebody's chucking a drink at someone else. Like, I just want to relax and unwind and have a bit of entertainment. Like, I don't want to be reminded about the state of the world sometimes, you know?
And how heavy the world is, totally. I mean, one of my favourite channels is TLC. I love every single show they commission. I'm just like, I could sit and watch TLC all day long because I feel like it's just like, it's escapism. It's
a bit of toddlers and tiaras. What's
toddlers
not the love?
Toddlers and tiaras, love after lockup, all of it.
Oh my God, me and you would have such a great little movie night, I feel, really.
We really would.
So, this series, tell us a little bit about your journey.
This specific series or as a whole?
This one that's out at the moment, and then we'll get into the nitty gritty of your past dramas, because don't worry, I am dying to get the goss.
I think this series is quite nice because I think I feel like I'm not personified as someone who's just in a relationship or just gone through a breakup, and it's more like you get to see Ruby, which I think is great. A lot of girls and guys will be able to relate, you know. One of my best friends on the show is going through something quite savage, and I'm in a position where I have to tell her some information that I know. And it's one of those, what do I say? I've been told not to say anything, but morally you just, you know, show aside. Yeah. You do the right things by your girlfriends.
Yeah. Oh, you've got to.
You have to. We have to stick together.
Girls before guys. Chicks before
always.
Dicks. All of it.
Totally. But I mean, this series as a whole, I think that there's been a lot of growth in me as a person, I'd like to think. Yeah. Some may differ. and you know what? I really enjoyed this series. I had a lot of fun with it. It was, you know, you have series that you feel emotionally harder than others and feel heavier than others, but this series was great. It was fun, you know. It was the build up to summer. We had summer on the horizon. We were thinking, you know, are we going away, aren't we going away? The weather was getting warmer, we were all in a good place, like we'd all just come out of sort of lockdown feels. We were filming in London again, and it's been great. I'm excited for everyone to watch it.
I think, like, it's really interesting, like, you obviously came in the show as Rez's girlfriend, and then there was loads of drama between yourself and him and Miles. And whereas, as a fan of reality TV, that shit is brilliant, you know? Like, we lap it up. Everyone loves to take a side. Everyone loves to have an opinion. Everyone loves the drama. But as someone who has been on reality TV, I know that sort of situation is often really difficult, exhausting, and just downright punishing. So I can understand how lovely it must feel to be on TV, to be making the show, when there's no real conflict in your personal life.
Yeah, for sure.
And is it just a totally different experience where you're just able to be Ruby? You're not someone's girlfriend. You're not someone's love interest. You're actually just showing this real side of you?
I think so. I think that was really nice. Like, you know, I, in terms of my personal relationship, I didn't... we were in a much better space than we had been previously. So I didn't feel there was much, you know, as much heat on us because, you know, they follow everything, you know, like you would know, like everyone knows. And, you know, the highs and the lows, the trials and the tribulations, all of it. And when we were just in, you know, have been in a great space, it was nice to be able to not have that focus on us in that sense and be able to, you know, be me, be out with my friends, show a different side of me that people hadn't been able to see as such. So that was definitely one of the positives I feel like I can take back from the series just gone, because it can get hard.
I know, like, honestly.
It can get really hard.
I know. But then there's this, like, the nature of the beast with reality TV is it's quite a difficult one. I often used to think, like, when you're happy, when your relationship is good, there's no problems, no drama, it's actually very boring for people to watch. And I used to feel like you almost worry about your place, your importance, your relevance on that show,
yeah.
Whatever one it is, if it's George Shaw, Made in Chelsea, Towie. And we've all seen these seemingly really happy couples get cut, get culled, because they're not bringing that fire anymore.
Yeah.
Do you feel that pressure? Do you think, oh my God, now I'm not part of like some toxic love triangle. Am I relevant? Or do you just think, you know what, I bring enough to this table to be myself, to be something else without having to be like caught up in some love, messy love romance?
Do you know what? It's such a good question. I go through waves of feeling that, for sure. You know, I'm like, this is my job and I need to keep my job. Yeah. But, you know, I'm me and I'm at peace with just being honest with myself and trusting the process in a way. And, you know, if I get put in some love triangle because that's just what's going on, then so be it. If I'm just in a really stable, happy place in my relationship and, you know, maybe I'm not as present, then so be it.
Yeah.
So I feel like I try to not think too far ahead, because otherwise I end up getting myself into, oh my God, what am I doing? Am I relevant?
Yeah.
Am I present enough? You know, and I think that I've definitely experienced that for sure. But I think after, you know, a couple of good series now, I'm kind of just trying to just roll with it.
Yeah. And you almost, because you have had the heat on your rubes, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Are you quite content to take a slight back seat and be that sort of more like that secondary role, that good friend role, that like, are you chill? Are you still like, nah, I still want some,
no,
I still want some limelight?
I don't really like the idea of backseat. I don't know. It's just not a word that, no, I mean, no.
That was best answer ever.
No, I quite like being at the forefront of it all.
Good
I
for
mean,
you. Get in the mix,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah, but I'm also aware that, you know, it's not like that all the time. You can have a great series, and you can have a series where just naturally you're not in the midst of things, and, you know, someone else will have a bigger series. And I think that that is great, because then you can explore, you know, those different people and their situations. But, you know, am I at this moment in time happy to just, like, you know, let someone else take the lead? I don't know. Maybe not.
Do you know what, mate? Honestly, I forget when I'm talking to you and stuff that you're 25. And the idea of, like, drama to me, or, like, sort of having a row with me fella, or, like, listening to me mate whinge about this, all of that, like, gives me, it makes me anxious. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Shit. But actually, when I was 25, like, I thrived off it, mate. It's such an integral part of your 20s of growing up. It is the ups and downs. It is the highs and lows. It is, to a certain extent, toxicity. So fucking you do you, girl. Smash it. Have another brilliant series. I'll be watching, like, I'll be watching, loving it. I don't know who I'm kidding. Like, I will be using my 1 hour of TV a night for this. Trust me.
I love that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you.
Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I think it's often hard to come into a show that's already really established. I know I was like the first person to ever walk into Geordie Shore. And actually, in retrospect, I wasn't all that nice to some of the girls who came in after, which I obviously deeply regret, Jesus Christ. But like I've mentioned loads of occasions, I wasn't as evolved as I am now. I was quite young and a bit of a knobhead. Actually, just a bit of a knobhead. But I wanted to know from like the different side of that last, like, because I think I would have really struggled to come into a show that was had such a fan base, that had such like strong characters already. Was it difficult, Rubes?
Do you know what? Yes, it was. But you know, Made in Chelsea is such a prestigious show. It got such a solid fan base. I've been going for over 10 years, and you know, like I was a bit like, you're a little old me. Like, well, really? Do you sure you want me? Like, and it was daunting. But I think in some aspects, you know, I knew my boyfriend was on the show, and a lot of my closest friends, I kind of grew up with it, as in friends being on the show. So my best friends, Sam and Zara, were on the show at the time. That was my first series I did when she was, you know, going through her problems with Sam. And, you know, a lot of my other friends I'd known, you know, Tiff and Habs and Melissa and Emily Blackwell. So I didn't come on not knowing anyone.
No, you
and
came I think on it would have great position.
Yeah, so I think that would have helped. I think if I had literally just come on as maybe just Rez's girlfriend, not knowing anyone, then I think it would have been a lot more daunting, and I can't even imagine. I think I always, you know, props to those people that come on just not knowing anyone. Like, that must be really scary. But I was in a position where I felt like it was a real safe space, and I felt like I had friends around me, so I didn't feel sort of alone in that aspect.
That's really nice. And then, so obviously everyone's been super welcome and you knew most of the people anyway.
Yeah.
Has there been any friction? Like, is there someone who you think to yourself, I could quite happily never fucking film with you again and I'd be a very happy bear? The silence tells me there definitely is.
I'm just trying to think. Do you know what? I've been lucky in the sense that there's no one at this present moment that I'm like, oh my God, if I get my filming details about, I hope I'm not with you.
Yeah, yeah.
That's quite nice. You know, I've had my conflicts with people, for sure. I think we all have. And
it's reality TV, mate.
It's reality TV.
They don't want to see us sitting around sipping green tea and like...
Who wants to see that? I wouldn't want to tune into that.
I actually probably would these days. I'm that boring.
I can't imagine that.
I'm really old and boring now, Rubes. I swear. I've changed. So no, so there's nobody particularly. You totally understand the nature of the game. I like that. And for everybody listening who is huge reality TV fans, like I, and that is myself included, I often feel like each show has its own individual foibles, the way things are done. Like, we got used to get taken away from all our friends and all our family, put in a house which was actually a warehouse on the bank of the River Tyne. Yeah, no word of a lie.
I remember watching. I was a massive fan, like, back in the day. Like, I really was.
You must have been like 10 years old, warehouse. Ruby.
No, and it was always on repeat, and then it was like on for years, and I don't know if I watched it like necessarily when it was
hope not, mate. But yeah, it was. So it was really hot in the summer, like, because it was just essentially a fucking like corrugated iron house, and really cold in the winter. We had flies, we had rats. It was absolutely gross, mate. And I mean, it obviously didn't look like that on the camera. It looked incredible. They made it look amazing. Like some old school New York loft, but it was not. We didn't get our phones. There was no chance we could sort of stage run-ins. Like, we were all together all the time. Like, I kind of wondered about the dynamics of Made in Chelsea. It's always fascinated me because you get to go home to your family every night. You get to keep your phone. Do you have scheduled filming hours? Like, do you get a message in the morning that sort of says, you're filming with Sam Thompson the day and it's going to be about X, Y, and Z, but other than that, freestyle? Or is it just literally like, I need to know, mate, basically, like, how much of it is contrived and how much of it is generally like, this is the goss in Chelsea?
So it's a difficult one. So So when we film in London, so during COVID, we were, due to the bubbles and restrictions, we were all put within a house out of London, and we lived there for like 3 months.
Like Chelsea Big Brother.
Chelsea Big Brother. That's what I say to everyone. It was like very Big Brother-esque. Yeah. But that was obviously, you know, that wasn't like the norm. So when we're filming here in London, I get sent a call time and a location, and I don't know who I'm filming with. I might have an inkling to, because of what's going on in my life. Have I said something to someone? Have I argued with someone? Yeah. And then I literally just turn up, and I, you know, they keep you away from who you're filming with. So you'll get to the location, but you can't see who it is. You're with one producer, they're with another producer. And then you literally do just walk into a scene. In terms of, like, you know, it's hard to obviously make plans whilst I'm filming because I'm contracted to them during the however many months. So day by day, I could just be told, you're filming tomorrow. And that's how last minute it naturally is.
They own your ass.
They really do. But, you know, I've kind of, at the beginning, it was all a bit like, oh my God, my life is in someone else's hands. Mm. But I feel like, you know, I've now just become accustomed to it. And I quite like the thrill of it all, weirdly.
I think, like, honestly, like anything, whether it's like a 9-to-5 and you adapt to the routine, or whether it's something more unpredictable like this, you adapt. We're pretty strong like that as human beings.
Totally.
I'm about to start, and I can't say too much about it, but pretty much my first time job ever as an adult. Like, obviously, I went on to Geordie Shore as 22. Like, found at 21, 22, was on it by 23, and I'm 35 this year, which... Again, like, I don't know why I start talking about these numbers, Ruby. They just depress me. But yeah, and I've never had any sense of, like, predictability. My whole life has been fast-paced and rushed and really exciting, and I've loved it. But I'm really excited, you know, to have, like, a bit of normality.
Yeah, I bet. Well, that's exciting.
No, really exciting, mate. And, like,
really exciting.
I can't wait till I can start talking about it properly, but I just don't want to jinx it. So, yeah.
No, fingers crossed.
Thank you. We've talked about all the amazing things that have come from, like, being on the show, and I know it's been super exciting for you. You've become a fan favourite, one of mine. I'm absolutely buzzing to have you on. But there must be some downsides to life in the spotlight, so to speak. What's been the worst thing that's come about being on Made in Chelsea for you?
I think social media. I think it's so prevalent in all our lives, and I think, you know, whatever you say and whatever you do, I've learned that there will be someone that doesn't agree with that. And I think at the beginning, you know, I found it really difficult to deal with that. And I remember my friends who were back in the day used to be told, oh, you know, I'm getting all these messages online and they don't like the way I look, they don't like what I said. And I used to be like, well, just ignore it, because who cares what, like, Susan from Norwich has to say? So just ignore it. But when it's you and then you're receiving that, I think it's, you know, it hits differently. But with that, you know, I am lucky that I do, yes, I get nasty messages when I'm in the public eye, we all do, but with that I do get, you know, some lovely messages, and I do have a great fan base, and I do like to remind myself that in some ways it evens itself out, and that is just the life that we're in. No one's made me do this, so I don't want to then just sit there and complain about the darker side of social media, because with that comes so many amazing positives, because it's given me a career, you know, I make great money through Instagram, but it's hard, because we're all human, and no one wants to hear nasty things about themselves.
Honestly, Rubes, I think that's so diplomatic, but, you know, if you ever wanted a whinge, this podcast's the place to do it. I fucking love a whinge. Our listeners are so patient, they're so understanding, they get it. Like, I say in life, you can't have light without shade. And it's just so true. Like, yes, I love my life and I'm so grateful for the amazing things I get to do. And I echo so many of your sentiments. But actually, like, I don't think anyone should have to put up with being, like, verbally abused. Like, I would not walk into a restaurant and tell someone that I think they look, like, my server, that I think they look fat. I wouldn't walk into... I don't know, a bank, and call the teller a slag. Like, these type of things are fucking mental to me to get my head around. Yet people think nothing of approaching my workplace, which essentially is Instagram, and doing the same thing. So listen, lass, like, I understand. It's such, like, especially when you just burst on the scene with it, it's such a baptism of fire.
Oh my god, yeah.
But it sounds as though like you've really learnt to take the good with the bad, and it's,
totally.
You know,
I think so.
It's the best way to do it as well, because there's this, I quote this all the time, but there's this fella. Have you ever heard Baz Luhrmann's wear sunscreen?
No, I don't think I have.
No, oh, Ruby, you should listen to it, right? Because it's my favourite thing to listen to whenever I'm feeling like a little bit woe's me and a bit down and a bit sad. And it's basically Baz Luhrmann, the big director. He gives his lessons, some advice, things he's learned. And some of them are really funny. And it all revolves around wear sunscreen, basically. That's what he goes back to. But one of the things he says is, keep your love letters and throw away your bills. And I sort of feel like it's a great lesson for life. Like, we can sit on Instagram and often scroll past all these lovely comments from super well-meaning, kind people who want to know where your dress is from, or who thought you were great in that show, or loved your outfit, or love your relationship with whoever. And we'll just scroll past, you know, just letting it wash over. But the one thing that sticks in my memory is the person who's cruel, the person who's mean. And it's, I don't know if it's like human nature to search for that negativity or what, but I feel like we could learn a lot from Baz Luhrmann. Keep those lovely comments.
I like that. I love that quote. That really resonates with me, actually.
Oh, well, I'm so pleased it does. On that note, mate, I am desperate for a wee, so I'm going to nip to the toilet. And can I have you back in part two?
Yeah, of course. I'll see you soon.
Love ya.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.